In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. So there's this swing that we get from Christmas Eve to the first Sunday after Christmas in the story. In liturgical churches like this one, we tell the Christmas story over the course of the season of Christmas, or the 12 days of Christmas, which used to confuse me to no end when I was a kid. I felt a little ripped off that I grew up in a family that only celebrated one day of Christmas. But my positive self-soothing came from the fact that I wouldn't want lame gifts like pipers piping or drummers drumming or even a French hen. But I digress back to how Christmas is remembered in the liturgical church. So the last time we were together in this building, we had this story, this specific character-driven text that comes from the narrative of Scripture, and it's remarkable. If it's not the most well-known story in the history of known stories, it's got to be top five, right? Angels, shepherds, wise people, Mary, Joseph, the babe Jesus. We've heard it a million times, and likely we don't remember the first time we heard it either. It's a part of our culture's experience of story. Even if you've never set foot in a church, you know this story, or you have some sense of it. And the story works. I mean to say that it's a great story that works. When we tell the story again, whether it's with a pageant or the reading of Luke's account, when we tell the story, we can find ourselves someplace in the story. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. We can feel it. We can feel the hay and the animals and the quiet that comes after the birth of a baby. The story is one that grounds us in the human experience. Of course, it's God enfleshed in the babe Jesus, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God come among us. But there's another aspect to the story that grounds us in the human experience as well. We know the players. We know where they are. They're in a barn with barn animals. We know the town they're in, Bethlehem, or from the Hebrew, Beit Lechem, house of bread. Even in its symbolism, this story is grounding us to a staple of the human diet. This story, this version of this story, is meant to ground us. Yes, this is real. It happened to people just like us, though many, many centuries ago. And then on the first Sunday after Christmas, the pendulum of storytelling swings all the way over to the other side. Or maybe we just have the full spectrum of storytelling. We have this somewhat mysterious and poetic prologue to John's gospel. It narrates the coming of the babe Jesus, but in a very different way. No star, no wise guys, no sheep, no angels, no manger. It's telling of the nativity, but it's a telling that's so incredibly different, so different that if we lean just the slightest bit toward the other story, we don't hear this one as the same at all. But it is. It is the same story. You see, there is this part of our human experience that mirrors John's version of this story. There is a part of our experience that is mysterious and spiritual. It's not fleshy, but it's cosmic. You can't see it or touch it or taste it, but you can feel it. You can feel it right here in your chest. It's manifest in our intuition. It's real. And I was thinking about how to explain this other side of the Christmas story, the one that's less clear and more intuitive, more felt, more sensed, I just kept coming back to Carolyn. Many of you in this church know Carolyn Houghton. Most of you know that we lost her yesterday. Carolyn died very peacefully in her sleep, and she was surrounded by family and her dearest. Carolyn was born right here on these church grounds in St. John's Hospital when it was made out of logs. You didn't have to live here very long to experience Carolyn. She and Bruce are everywhere. I don't know that I've been to a party in the last 3 years that didn't have Bruce and Carolyn there. At important town meetings or shows at the center, you could see her smile and hear her laugh across the room. And then yesterday, Carolyn died. None of us will experience that laugh in the same way again. This is true. This is the fleshy side, the incarnate side of the Carolyn story, right? She is no longer standing and smiling among us. And yet there is another side, one that's more cosmic. It's harder to pick out or pick up, but it is nevertheless real. Real things don't have to be things we can touch. There are real things that we can't touch. And I can tell you, I really feel Carolyn right here in this church where she spent so much of her life. I really feel Carolyn in these mountains as I gaze upon them this morning, or in this dirt that'll be on the ground after that wonderful snow melts. And I really experience Carolyn in the stories we shared across her dining room table yesterday. I can tell you that she was there, but not in the way that she has been for so long, but nevertheless there. That was real. Maybe you're visiting our church or you haven't lived here for very long and you didn't get a chance to know Carolyn, but there's someone in your life that you've lost. Someone that you loved that you can't touch anymore, but is nevertheless still a real part of your life. think John, as he writes this version of this story, and he was a mystic anyway. He's the one who gives us God is love. But I think John, as he writes this version of this story, I believe he wants to affirm that mysterious and cosmic side of our experience. He wants us to know that the God we feel but can't touch, the one we feel but can't touch, is real. John wants us to know we're connected in ways that are certainly mysterious, but nevertheless real. This is not so hard for us, those of us who live here surrounded by such amazing natural beauty. We're used to being moved by things we see and feel, things that are mysterious, the way that light's hitting the canyon, or the quiet that comes with some significant snowfall, or that moose that just keeps showing up. But I do suppose that sometimes we can just sort of take those experiences for granted rather than leaning toward them, rather than relishing them, rather than using those experiences to help us become even more alive and more open and more loving and more compassionate. To use those experiences to inform our experience of God, our real and felt experience of God in our lives, coming alongside us, leading us toward co-creation, toward mission, toward love, who John tells us is God. John helps break this story open for us. He helps us to see that this Christmas story, the one about the babe in the manger, he helps us to see that it's a story about us too, a story about people enlightened, enlightened by capital L love come among us. The work we have before us, this Christmas season work, is to take notice of that love come among us and to spread it and to share it with those who need it. And we know everyone needs it. And we can do that work together. Amen.